Leviticus, thank you for your worship. You didn't do it for me, you did it for him. I'm going to start in the, if you can back me up to the 8th verse. It's important. I listed 9 through 13, but I want to go to verse 8. The Bible said, and the Lord spake. Many instances in the Word of God, and the Lord said. Many instances where it said, and the Word of the Lord came unto. How many of you tonight will say, I know the Lord still speaks to his people. If you'll let him tonight, he'll speak to us. Verse 9, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command Aaron and his sons. This is the law of the burnt offering. It is a burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night until the morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it. The priest, in verse 10, shall put on his linen garment and his linen breeches, and shall he put it upon his flesh, take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And then he shall put off his garments and put on other garments and carry forth the ashes without the camp until a clean place. There's so much here tonight. Verse 12 and 13 is our emphasis. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it, shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereof the fat of the peace offering. Verse 13, everybody's heard this. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. It is a perpetual fire, an offering unto the Lord. And tonight we ask God, as you bow your heads with me and pray with me, Father, speak, Holy Spirit. We thank you for the anointing, precious anointing that we sense in this place. A mighty touch, a mighty move of your Spirit upon your people. God, Lord, I love it when the Spirit of the Lord touches human flesh and bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, whereby we can cry, Abba, Father. Lord, we have felt your touch, and we are thankful. Bless the reading, the preaching of the word, anointing for me and for them, Lord God. Seal this word into our heart. Let it be something that encourages us, edifies us, strengthens us, corrects us, guides us. And the people of God said, amen and amen, amen. God bless everybody tonight, amen. And we all, as always, I love to tell our praise team and musicians, and I hope that that doesn't sound insincere or insincere, because I'm not. I love I love everybody. I appreciate. Let me just take a moment. I appreciate our choir, our praise team, our musicians, our security team, our nursery workers, our Sunday school teachers. Oh, I'm gonna miss somebody. Everybody, any and everybody, all of you. We love all of you. We appreciate everything that you're doing. Amen. And the work of the ministry on and on and on. So Sister Kimberly and I, we love and appreciate our church family, and I don't ever want anybody to think that you're not appreciated, valued, and loved. Amen. I do appreciate all that you're doing. I appreciate those that you maybe you're not don't hold a position right now or whatever. We'll put you to work if you want to, though. But whatever you're, if you're supporting this church, visiting, coming to services and just helping us to be a part of what we're doing here, we love and appreciate you. If you believe that, I want you to say amen. So for a little while, I want to preach. Now, I preached on this before. Now, this is not my first time preaching out of this, and I've heard some fantastic, amazing, powerful messages about the fire going out. And those of us that are Pentecostals, and I hope that's all of us tonight, and that believe in being Spirit-filled, we know how important that the fire is, don't we? Nobody likes Kim got on me a little bit about my message this morning. She said, don't tell them folks they're dead. I said, well, you tell them to wake up then. tell her that, amen. But you know, and we won't dead. The Lord got on me too, you know. Don't call any place where he's at dead. It might be a little dry. Come on here, but it ain't dead. As long as he's here, come on, there's life. Amen. But though we realize how important that is in our culture, that we must understand in our culture that the Pentecostal churches, we expect a little spark. We expect a little fire. We expect something to be moving. There is an expectation that in the singing, there's going to be an anointing. There's going to be somebody up there playing an instrument, singing a song, holding the microphone. Somebody's like Jeremiah. They're going to have a fire shut up in them. We come to church with the expectation that the preacher's going to have a little bit of fire, a little bit of spark in him, that he'll preach with passion. He'll preach with an anointing. He'll preach, amen, a fire that is shut up in his bones, and all of these things and the altar services. We expect in our culture that many churches, altars have been done away with. Can you believe it? They build sanctuaries that don't even put an altar in. Now, you know, I've noticed. I understand the importance of the altar. I understand that that in our culture, in the Pentecostal culture, we love for people to come down. We want to lay hands. We don't want anybody to leave here worse off than they come. We want them to come and experience a mighty touch of the power of God. And I don't know, I'm not so old, I don't guess, that I remember a time that almost every service was almost obligated to come to the altar and people get around one another and pray until the fire of God fell. Would you say amen? But there are many now, many churches and many places where the altar services have been cut out. And it's like, amen, people are saying, we want to come, we want to check off a box, we want to sing a song or two, we want you to move us. Come on now. I hope you didn't come and hoping that, man, they'll sing my song so I can be moved. I hope you didn't come and thinking that I can preach you happy or I can preach something that might would move you or stir you, and that's okay, and somebody to sing the song that might stir you, amen. But I want to be like Paul telling the young Timothy to stir up the gift that is already in you, amen. Come on, somebody help me tonight. There is fire shut up in our bones anyway, amen, and we don't need somebody to prime our pump, to light our fire, amen, to pour a little gasoline on it, amen. I've come by to tell you, amen, I'm fired up about the things of God. I love God. I thank God for who he is and what he is in my life. In our culture, we have that. It's been a part of it. I remember the days of old. I remember, and I've shared this with you, my brother and I were young boys peering out from underneath. See, we were a little rambunctious, and so we didn't sit on the back and play with our phone. When they went to the altar, my mom and daddy put us up on the front pew. And when the fire got to falling, me and my brother would get under the pew as to get out of the way. Ain't much danger that no more, is it? Come on and say amen. We would get out. And I remember, all my mind goes back to being on Doodle Hill in that little bit of church, and it'd be packed out full of the old saints, and my brother and I'd be under the pew, amen, snatching bobby pins as they fell out. Come on and say amen. Wonderful memories that I have, amen. I'm going to tell you, see, there used to be an expectation that when you come to the house of God, especially a Pentecostal church, that something was about to break out at any time. When I was, my boys would tell me, and when they were teenagers, I said, well, get him to come to church. No, Daddy, we're scared that crowd might turn loose. Come on here. Let me help you with something. That's why they come. If somebody's coming to visit and they're looking and they're hungry, they're looking for a fire. They're looking for some passion. They're looking for some power. Anybody can have a dried up mess, amen. But God help us tonight, amen, to be the church of the living God, that the fire never goes out. Clap your hands and bless him in his house tonight. People are looking for that, amen. They're looking for a demonstration of the power of God. So this fire, verse 13, it said it'll never go out. It should never go out. And the reason for this, time will not allow us, and it's, you go home and study all these offerings, they're amazing. They're so in-depth. It's a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. Come on, it is. It's a foreshadowing of Christ, and it's pointing to forgiveness of sins. It's pointing to atonement, and always the people, they were sinning, there was always a sacrifice, an offering going up. There's always a lamb, a spotless lamb, a perfect lamb being sacrificed every afternoon, amen, or for the evening sacrifice, pointing toward a Savior that would die on the cross. It was a voluntary act of worship. See, I don't know what all giftings I'm still figuring out. I don't have many, but thank God for what He has given me to be a part of the kingdom of God. But I love being in worship services. And I love somebody that can really lead somebody into the worship of the Lord. We're very gifted here. Let me rephrase. We're very anointed here. But we have people that God's placed in our lives, put on this platform, that lead us into worship. But do you know it's a voluntary act on our parts to worship the Lord? This, I don't know where we got, and I'm guilty of it. I'll probably do it Wednesday night. Who knows? But let's sing that song 462 times. I get it. We do that. That's in our culture. But we don't, we've got this thing backwards where we've got, somehow you've got to, the expectation is show me the best that you can do and see if you can get me fired up. Dear heaven above, people of God, that's not how it works. Every day, amen, they were bringing these voluntary offerings, these sin offerings, the burnt offerings, amen, that it might be put on that altar, that it might be consumed by the fire of God, and by the fire that was burning, that it would offer up a sweet-smelling savor. That's why I said it's so sacred and so wonderful when there's corporate worship, when we come together and worship God together. Something happens that we can't see in the natural. There's something going in the on in the supernatural, the heavenly realm. Our praise, amen, leaves this world and goes to another world, and that world where the King of Heaven sits, amen. And the Bible says that our praise and worship is a sweet smelling savor. May the praise of this church never go out. May the worship of this church never go out. May the glory of the Lord, amen, fall in this place. Say amen and hallelujah. Encourage us to keep the fire burning in our lives. This is a voluntary. It expresses devotion. You ready? Your worship expresses devotion. See, I preach this from another angle, you know, fired up Pentecostals. You know, that's kind of like preaching to the choir a lot of times. Everybody in here, most of us spirit-filled, tongue-talking, shouting, dancing, Holy Ghost Pentecostal people. Y'all my kind of folks. Amen. Most of the time, but I preach that a lot of times. I've preached this over the years on that particular vein, but I see that this offering's intent, the fire is important. We'll look at this, if I can ever get through this introduction. We'll look at the fire in different places throughout the Bible, but it speaks to the devotion of the people and the commitment to bring something every day. Right? Devoted. Committed, dedicated. Boy, these words are what we need in the house of the Lord. We need devoted people. We need committed people. We need dedicated people. Amen. It ain't one of these things, well, you know, Merle, what Pearl? I don't feel like going and bringing no sacrifice. Maybe somebody else do it. No, Pearl would say to Merle, let me tell you something, old man, I'm going to bring my best to the Lord. I've got a unspotted lamb. I got a lamb without blemish. And it's almost time for the afternoon sacrifice. And I've made a vow, amen, that when I got saved, when I got sanctified, when I got filled with heaven's Holy Ghost, I was going to bring my best. Amen. I am tired, and you are tired, of having somebody trying to prime us up every single service or every day. Amen. I say we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is our reasonable service. Would you say amen? It was pointed to the need for the sins to be forgiven. And we don't have that today. Christ fulfilled this. And so we don't have the need to bring something and put it on an altar as far as physically, but the Lord is still looking for devotion. Come on here. Again, I preach, like I say, over the years, I preach out of this message, and I've heard some great, amazing messages out of this package, a passage about the fire. But you hear me? When I begin to see this in a different light, just another application, another, you know how the word of the Lord is like sometimes like an onion. You peel it and there's another layer. You peel it, there's another layer. God's helped me to see another layer. Muslims, a devoted Muslim will pray 5 times a day. Years ago, I don't know if it was the prison in Tyrell County, but I might have been at Man's Heart, may have been another one that I was trained, and they were trained, and we went in from our church and did prison ministries. And, you know, the prisons have to accommodate all kinds of religions, not just Christianity. And so I remember that we were there during the time of Ramadan, when there's a month in the Muslim calendar that they won't eat, they will only eat before sunrise and after sundown. And they'll fast a whole month, and it's a holy month set apart for their worship. We were there one time, and we were there during one of their prayers, and they all have to pray in the same position. They get on a mat and they kneel and they bow and they toward Mecca that's in Saudi Arabia. And they'll stop what they do 5 times a day to pray. Let me help you out with something. That's dedication. That's devotion. That's commitment. Come on and say amen. I think about our Mormon friends, and we know they're all goofed up with their theology, but they'll take the brightest of the bright. They're young people from about age 18 to about 22. Y'all hear me something now. They will send their young people on a 2-year journey all over the world. Now, can you imagine your youngin, your daughter, your son? Man, I don't know if I'd send my youngin to Slakestone groceries. Certainly don't think I'd want to send her halfway across the world to go live somewhere for 2 years and spread a gospel that is a different gospel. Y'all hear me? That's devotion. That's dedication. That's commitment to something. Come on here. I think about our dear friends down at the Jehovah Witness Kingdom Hall. We know that they're doctrine is wrong, and we know that the God of the Jehovah Witnesses is not the God of this Bible. We know that. But yet those people are out every weekend, just about. Some are out every day. My favorite crowd is them that go to the that sit on the waterfront here in Washington. Now, they're everywhere. I've shared stories with you. You know, I don't close the door on them. I welcome them, you know. I can't wait to talk to them. And they ain't been to my house. I think Brother Jethro scared them all away from 2428 Terrapin Track. To be right honest, we've been here going on 8 years and ain't seen one yet. Can I tell you, they'll go out there and sit all day long on the waterfront. That's devotion, people. That's dedication. That's commitment. Jehovah's Witnesses serve a God that's not even a real God. The Mormons serve a God that's not even a, come on, help me here, that's not even a real God. The Islamic faith serves a God by the name of Allah that's not even a God. Come on, somebody, and say amen. And here we are, the people of the true and the living God, amen. And you got just about to pay people to cook a chicken leg to get people out to the house of the Lord. I know I'm not preaching to y'all because y'all are here, amen. But I'm telling you, something's wrong with this thing. We have forgotten what it's like to be devoted to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We have forgotten what it's like, amen, to bow the knee, amen, and declare a pledge of allegiance. We forgot how it's like to be dedicated. We don't need to put God on the back burner. We need to put him back on the front, amen, and be like Jeremiah and say, it's like a fire shut up in my bones, amen. God is looking for some committed, some dedicated, and some people that will worship him. He told the woman at the well, amen, I seek those that will worship me in spirit and in truth, amen. Should be the prayer of the church. Should be the prayer in other churches, this church and other churches, that we be on fire for God. Man, I have nothing. Look, I'm just going to speak to the Pentecostal culture. Are we still offline? We are, okay. All our stuff, we ain't Facebooking and we ain't recording. Everything's messed up. So I'll say some stuff. No, I'm just kidding. But to our Pentecostal people, can I help you with something? People are looking for churches that have a connection to God. They're looking for something that is real. They're looking for something even beyond an emotional response to a stimulus. They're looking beyond something, wonderful music, and thank God we got. They're looking beyond a man or somebody that can get up and woo somebody or wow somebody. They're looking for something real. Somehow that they can make a connection. They realize there's a void in their soul and in their heart. There's got to be more to life than it is. I've tried drugs. I've tried alcohol. I've tried other religion. I've tried sex. I've tried this and that. And everything that I try comes to a dead end. Is there not somewhere where there's the fire of God burning? Is there not somewhere where my soul and spirit and darkened mind can be enlightened? Amen. I've come by to tell you tonight, there ought to be a church somewhere, on a corner somewhere, maybe on Mill Hold in Terrapin Track Road, where the fire of God does not go out. It burns, hallelujah. It burns and it burns and it burns. Clap your hands and shout hallelujah to the Lamb of God. You know, we need a fire that represents the presence of God. Come on here. It started Moses. Lord. I told Brother Adam he wanted to meet later on for something to eat after church. I said, well, boy, you preach a lot longer than I do. I think I'm going to get him tonight. Yeah, I ain't in no hurry. I can do what my grandma said, Brother Mike. If I ain't got nothing at home, I can get two pieces of white bread, jam them together, have a jam sandwich. Y'all ain't going to get that, amen. She told me that one time. She said, you want a jam sandwich? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, go get two pieces of white bread and smash them. Y'all ain't going to help me, amen. It started with Moses. The fire of God appeared to him in that burning bush, and it did not consume the bush. Our God is a consuming fire, but he's not looking to consume brick and mortar and carpet and pew. He's looking to burn in us, burn out the dross and the things that get in our way, the things that have created a block between us and God and spending time and worshiping the Lord. I've got it in my notes. I don't know if I'll get to it, but you know, if we don't have time for God, it's not a time problem. It's a heart problem. Listen to me. You don't manage time. You manage yourself. You don't manage. Y'all say, yeah, well, I got a block of time. No. Time's going to go on. But you can manage yourself. And I'm telling you right now, I want to manage myself to this way. Lord, show me, God. Help me, God. I want to burn for you. I don't want to go through this life mediocre. Come on here now. Where's our competitive spirit at? Not that we're competing with other churches. Not that we're competing with other believers. But bless God, I want all of God's best. Amen. I don't want to settle for a slog in the mud. God led Israel, Moses saw the fire in the bush. God led Israel by a pillar of fire. And I, looking at this in a different light, there's a lot of things that pillar of fire did. It gave them a light by night. It kept wild animals away. But you know what I think one of the most important things? It was a sign to their enemies that even in the darkest of night, when there's no stars and no moon, come on here, and it's black dark, amen, there's a fire over the people of God. I'm telling you right now, there's a dark world out there. People are walking around bumbling and falling in things. They're blinded by sin and the things of this world, and they're looking around. Is there not yet a fire burning? Is not the presence of God in the house of God? Is there not somewhere we can go and receive manna for our souls? Mount Sinai, God gave Moses the commandments, and the whole mountain burned by fire. God answered Elijah by fire. Come on, I'm just giving you some examples. Here's one of my favorite examples. On the road to Emmaus, when these men didn't even know who Jesus was, the resurrected Lord. Here, listen to what they say after the Lord. This is more important to me. This is more important to me as far as on a personal level than the cloudy pillar of fire. That's miraculous and amazing and beautiful. There's so much preaching there. In the bush that wasn't consumed, oh my goodness, that theophany, that appearance of God to a human being. God clothed himself in that fire, and he appeared to Moses. God answered Elijah, prayed a 62-word prayer, and God answered him by fire, and it consumed the sacrifice. But listen. In the New Testament, Jesus, the resurrected Son of God, walking with two men on the Emmaus roads. And their quote in the scripture says, "Were not our hearts burning within us as we talked with him?" Come on, I can't sing it now, but, "And he walks with me, and he talks with me." Come on here. "And he tells me I am his own." Come on here. We need some preaching. We need some teaching. We need some altar workers. We need some altar services. We need some songs that are sung, amen, that when they're sung and when the sermons are being preached and when the prayers are being prayed, something is burning inside of the hearts of people. And people that don't know the Lord are strangely warmed. And there is a drawing and a wooing by God. I don't know about you, but I say, God, send the fire, amen. If there's somebody here today and you've grown cold, amen, God says tonight is your night. I'm going to set you back ablaze. I'm going to set you on fire. It might be the preacher. It might be the choir director. It might be a Sunday school teacher. Come on, somebody. God, burn us one more time. Send the fire of your presence, amen, in this house. Yeah, others experienced the fire. Jeremiah, I've quoted it already. One of my favorite. Fire shut up in my bones. John the Baptist said Jesus would baptize with the Holy Ghost. And what? With fire. On and on and on. It's symbolic, it's literal, it's figurative. It can be sent to teach us a lesson, give us an example. I just come by to tell you tonight, amen, we can't afford to get cold. We can't afford to get lukewarm. Remember what Jesus said to the church of the Laodicea? He said, "I'd rather you be hot," what? "Or cold." I don't want that in-between stuff. Bless God tonight. God help us, amen. If there's any lukewarmness in this house tonight, we come against it in the name of Jesus. We plead the blood, amen. I would say tonight, if you're lukewarm in your spirit, if you're lukewarm in your walk, don't wait till I get done. Run to this altar, amen. I believe the fire of God will fall and touch and help you tonight. Would you believe it? Say amen. Pentecost, Holy Ghost came down, his cloven tongues on fire set upon each of them. He places a fire in us so that we could grow, mature. I know I'm wearing some of you out, and I appreciate your willingness to put up with some of the same things I say over and over again. But I appreciate the old-time saints. Come on here. Those that have stayed this course, fought the fight. Come on here. If you've been serving the Lord any amount of time, you've been through it. But you know what you've done? Amen. You've not let the fire go out. It might have got a little dim sometimes. You might have got discouraged, but you kept on going. There's something inside of those dear old saints. There's that level of maturity that is in them, that their mind is made up. I like a tree that's planted by the water. We get that mentality, I shall not be moved. Anybody feel that way tonight? Amen. I'm not going to be moved. Though all hell assail me, Jesus will not fail me. I'll not be moved. So then who's responsible for keeping the fire burning? Preacher, if you preach a little better, there may be something to that. Y'all, if y'all sing just a little bit better. Oh, boy, if they just start going. You know, I'm so tired of what they call worship wars in the church. Y'all maybe don't go on here. Maybe it has. I'm just ignorant of it. People fighting about what kind of songs they're going to sing. You know, I know God's up in heaven really thinking, boy, I don't know what God's thinking. But I guess if it was me, I said, boy, that's really dumb. Because I've told you time and time again, worship is not about you or me. It's for Him. It's not a performance. Listen, if she's playing that piano beautifully and she does, Sister Ellen, you play as beautiful as anybody I've ever heard, she's not doing it for us. She's doing it for Him. If I'm preaching, if I can be a blessing to you and a help to you, amen. But first and foremost, all that we do, as we do unto the Lord. This service is ordained for Him. Come on here. We're looking at it we're fighting over the types of songs. We fuss, not us, about the color of the carpet. We remodeled a church one time, and I know I've told this story. And they put it in, they didn't like it. But they picked it out. And see, you know, y'all know me well enough that I don't care what color the carpet is. I really don't. I have no preference. Matter of fact, I told you, Kim said one time, we'd been here about 3 or 4 years, she said, what do you think about the curtains in the bedroom in the parsonage? And my response was, what curtain? Into that. I just don't have time. I mean, my mind don't work that way. So when people, I'm having a meeting, listen, I'm conducting a meeting about the direction that we're going to go and the decision we're going to make on the carpet. And you know me, that's like watching paint dry. But I'm going to do it because I'm the leader and I'm supposed to do it. And then they got it and then they didn't like it because it showed everything. And about 3 months later, God just sent a storm and tore the roof off the church and roof off the parson went through the roof of the church and messed up the carpet and messed up some of the pews. And guess what? We changed the color of the carpet. God is my witness. It happened that way. Now, whether God sent the storm for that reason, I don't know. I personally believe He did. Didn't you want me to tell you the good part about that? And I'm gonna fudge here a little bit. We broke out in revival. No, we did not. No, we did not. Listen, church, we got to get our minds off the things that have no value. We got to get, look, with things are necessary. Things have to be done, but we've got to get our mind on the eternal. We got to get that fire blazing. We got to get fired up within ourselves. We got to become dedicated, committed, amen. We got to become true worshipers, amen. We've got to be that person, amen, that is so on fire for God, amen, that everybody sees that in us. Would you say amen? So, who's responsible then for keeping the fire burning? You are. I am. You said, Brother Bateman, the passage you just give us, it was Aaron and his sons and the priest. And we're now what? A royal priesthood. Bible says a chosen generation, a holy nation. Come on, 1 Peter 2. And not everybody knows that. So, you and I are a priest before God. And I don't know about you, I'm glad I don't have to go kill something and put it. But what I do have to do every day of my life, there needs to be a perpetual fire burning in me. A hunger for the things of God. A passion for the house of God. A deep, abiding desire for the presence of God. A holy hunger, come on now, for souls to be saved. Listen, we miss this now, I think, in the latter-day church. A holy hatred for sin. Sin is not something we're going to rock to sleep. The wages of sin are still death. Lust hath conceived, it bring forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, what? It brings forth death, amen. Sin is still damn a soul to hell. But if we got enough of the power of God and enough of the boldness of God, amen, we're not afraid to confront people where they're living, amen, and say, listen, get out of that dead, cold lifestyle that's going to bring out spiritual death and eternal separation from God, and come into the light and experience what we are experiencing. I wrote, has anyone ever said our church is so cold? I don't feel anything anymore. And listen, I understand. I know I'm long-winded tonight. Y'all bear with me. Churches go through seasons. Come on, we'll go through a dry season. We will. Churches go through trials, and as human beings, as families, things will happen. There'll be death, and there'll be problems in the church. But if the fire never goes out, God gives us grace to go through these. That's why we have revivals and revival types of services. Remember a couple of years ago, it may have been not quite that long, but we called Sunday nights Kingdom Revival. And you know, and you know, it's not just a play on words or trying to speak something into existence. It was said we wanted to do that to build an expectation. We just don't want to come in here on a Sunday night and check off a box and say we had church. Thank you, people, our dear friends that come from other churches to be with us on Sunday night. Listen, we love you and we appreciate you, and to my home people that come and worship and support the church on Sunday night. It is not just because we want to have a service, amen. We want to come and meet the true and the living God. Anybody want to say, God, what have you got for me tonight, amen? God, how are you going to help me? God, how you going to touch me tonight? So if it's cold, if you're cold, I say get on fire and heat this place up. Y'all, here we go, preacher. That old Pentecostal manipulation. Get us in a church and in our culture and try to get people to manipulate people to do something. I'm not trying to get you to do anything. I'll never forget, I got a chance. And I've had great opportunities. The Lord has blessed me to preach, I don't know, in dozens and dozens of churches and different denominations and different cultures. And I've preached in black churches and Spanish churches and Methodist churches and Baptist churches. I thank God for every opportunity. I went one place. I'll never forget it. It was a black church. And that woman got up. You know, had a good praise time. Evidently, it won't at the temperature mama wanted it to be. She got up. She said, I'm about ready to raise this place. I looked around. I don't know what I didn't really know what she meant. But, you know, we need some people with that kind of mentality. Not to manipulate some, not to get you to jump up and run around this church, and it's all right if you do, we're Pentecostal. But I'm looking for some people that got some fire that'll say, God, I'm sick and tired of the being sick and tired. I'm tired of the mundane. I'm tired of the mediocre. I'm tired of going through the motions. Lord, I come to have church. I'm about to raise this place. I'm going to raise a hallelujah. I'm going to raise a praise. I'm going to raise my hand. I'm going to raise a worship. Anybody going to help me tonight? Lift a holy hand and magna. Raise this house tonight, amen. You ain't going to be cold if you get on fire. A couple more points. Y'all bear with me. I'm this far in. I'm gonna land this plane here in a minute. We need people of all ages to carry this fire. Now, don't have as many young people tonight as I was hoping we'd have. We got 4 or 5 stuck up there in the sound booth. Well, I see you. They're working. Security. But we need y'all young people to carry the fire. Come on now. And they need some old, they need to see some old folks. Come on here. That's a good place to say amen. They need to see some people that are fired up about what they say they really believe. They need to see not only people fired, they need to see devotion, commitment, and dedication. Amen? They don't need just to see it here. They need to see it in the homes. They need to see mom and daddy praying. They need to see mom and daddy speaking in tongues if you're full of the Spirit and baptized in the Holy Ghost. They need to see you reading the Bible. My daughter needs to see me treating my wife the way the Bible says that I'm supposed to treat her. Y'all help me out here. They need to see our walk line up, our talk line up with our walk. One man, I don't know who said this, I wrote it down. A church without young people may dry up, but a church without old people might blow up. And what he meant by that, older people have wisdom, they have experience, they have a unique perspective, and they know what the fire is about. Come on here, does anybody know what the fire is about? Has anybody ever felt the touch of God? Has anybody ever been in an old-fashioned Pentecostal outpouring altar service, amen, where people would pray through, amen, till they got the old-time victory? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? To come to the house of God and be burdened and be downcast, broke, busted, and disgusted, and depressed, amen, and get in an altar of God and the power of God fall on somebody and you get up and you've been changed, amen, and God has burned it all of you, amen. Got any witnesses? Old people got wisdom, experience, unique perspective. Fire, they seen the fire. Young people have energy and enthusiasm. So I'm afraid, Sister Ellen, come on, because I ain't never going to stop. I got 3 more pages, and y'all know I ain't that long-winded most of the time. I'm afraid, though, that we're selling our young people an emotional response instead of the true fire of God. Because emotional response to a stimulus, to a fast song, to the lights, and you know, I'm not trying to be critical. I'm really not. I God can move where He wants to move. I'm not the authority or the expert, or I tell God what He can do. We need. Boy, she sure got on that piano. We need the true fire of God, not an emotional response, but something that will radically change their lives when it touches us. I want you to stand.